Friday, July the 13th, 2006. This is Tips from the Top Floor, show number 139.
Here's another edition of Tips from the Top Floor, bringing you the best tips and tricks for your digital photography.
And on today's show, I'll tell you about a light box, we'll find out a few things about Kodak, and I'll bring you an interview with the Museum of Temporary Art.
And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Hello and welcome to Tips from the Top Floor. My name is Chris Marquardt, and this is the podcast about all things digital photography, coming to you from the Top Floor Productions headquarters in Tübingen, southern Germany. Hoon, it's a hot day. The fan is working away in the background. So if you hear any wind noises, that's the fan then, okay? The news. There's an issue with downloading Tips from the Top Floor for some of you out there. And let me try to explain this to you. If you have subscribed to this show using the Juice receiver, formerly known as iPodder, you might have noticed that Juice cannot load the latest episodes. The way Tips from the Top Floor is set up from the technical feed side, and I'll try to keep this as short as possible, is that we use FeedBurner to help us provide a valid feed to all sorts of clients. Now, FeedBurner has recently changed their format for the MP3 file enclosure links kind of things, which is now much longer than it used to be, and in turn this pushes the number of characters for the individual feed items over the limit of 260 characters that Juice can handle. And I have reported this issue to the FeedBurner team, and they are looking into it right now, so I hope this will be resolved soon. They in the past have been quite responsive when it came to these things. Until then, if you use Juice to download this show, I'll have to ask you to download the show manually from tipsfromthetopfloor.com, and unfortunately there's nothing I can do about that right now, so hang in there, I'll update you as soon as something changes. On a brighter side, today I want to point out a small company in Germany who sell photo studio equipment for very reasonable prices. And today I received a foldable light dome from them, kind of a light box made out of a translucent neutral white fabric, and I'll use that to do some smaller object photography. It's foldable, it folds up to a very small size, so you can take it with you on location. It only costs, and that's the best thing, only costs 33 euros. You will find them at simbolon.net. That's simbolon.net. They also have some small studio flash kits and umbrellas and all sorts of things around that. And all of that for very, very good prices. By the way, I'm not getting paid to say that. I'm not affiliated with them in any way other than having bought a few things from them. I just kind of like the service and the quick delivery and everything, and I believe they only sell to customers in Germany, but I might be wrong here, so you'll have to ask them. Oh, and the picture on the blog entry for this show has been taken with the light box. I was kind of checking it out and thought I'd post one for you. And a shout out goes to Paul from the Powwow Cast. You can find that at www.powwowcast.com. That's powwowcast.com. And now here's the useless fact of the day.
When will the ice be broken?
Any photographer will be familiar with the name Kodak. If not from the digital realm, then certainly as the largest supplier of film. But where does the name come from? Well, George Eastman, the inventor who was the co-founder of the company, made up the name in 1888. He remarked to a magazine editor in 1920,
"The letter K has been a favorite with me. It seems a strong, incisive sort of letter."
It is also believed that the letter K was chosen in homage to his mother's maiden name, Kilbourne. With his mother, Mr. Eastman tried a number of letter combinations, creating words that started and ended with the letter K. Eventually, he settled on Kodak, a name universally identifiable and not translatable to any other meaning in any other language, which is also an important aspect, by the way, for marketing and patenting. At another occasion, when he was asked about the name Kodak, he apparently replied that
philologically, the word Kodak is as meaningless as a child's first goo. Terse, abrupt to the point of rudeness, literally bitten off by firm and unyielding consonants at both ends, it snaps like a camera shutter in your face. What more would one ask?
Oh, and by the way, just an interesting fact on the side. On safari in Africa, Eastman visited a native village called Kodok. And now here's an interview with the owner of the Museum of Temporary Art. It's not entirely photography related, but I love this project. It's just one of the most wonderful ideas that I've heard in a while. And check it out. Okay, and today my English is getting worse and worse. I'm actually sitting here with an English teacher.
And I'll be correcting you all the time.
Yeah, no, please don't. This is Debbie Repsch, and the reason I have her here is that she runs a website. It's a bit complicated how to get this going. It's called the Museum of Temporary Art, and Debbie, why don't you tell the listeners what this is about?
Hi, everyone. The Museum of Temporary Art is a museum. It's a physical object. It's a little box, originally I think made for screws and gadgets and that kind of stuff, with 33 compartments, and it's in my living room. And it's a museum of temporary art because art goes in and art goes out as soon as something else is sent in. The website is only ever a representation of what is actually in the museum at any given time.
Okay, wait. I'll have to stop you here. Art goes out and art comes in. And
I knew I'd have to explain
what does that mean?
The idea behind it was originally that we wanted to create, maybe a sort of a guest book, a visitor's book type of thing, mm-hmm. that was three-dimensional. We thought, people come and visit, and rather than scribbling the typical, oh, lovely time at yours, nice tea, we thought, leave something you carry around with you and that has sentimental value. Mm-hmm. And that would be a nice little memento of you, and, you know, you liked us enough or stayed with us, so to leave us that memory that is valuable. And that turned into the Museum of Temporary Art.
Okay,
where we said for any given object, people carry around loads of things that have sentimental value. So and we want to give them the platform. They belong in a museum, these objects.
So it could be anything, like a little figurine, something you have in your keychain, something you find somewhere in a corner.
The original idea is just that. Something that to you is important,
sort of
we want to show the world and make important to everyone. We want to give it its moment of glamour.
I see.
There are, however, a lot of people who just want to have that moment of glamour and send art they've made specifically for the museum.
Okay.
So we've got 33 compartments. That means 33 objects can be in. So I'll get something in the post tomorrow.
Okay.
So the piece that's been in longest is kicked out and the new piece replaces it. That's why it's temporary.
And where does the kicked out piece go? Does that go...
In my archive.
In your archive.
My archive now has 570 objects.
570 objects.
A bit
objects.
More, because we've got obviously 33 objects in the museum. So I think in total we've now had 605 contributions. That's over the last 6 years.
Okay.
And it's the platform for anything. You've contributed. You sent me
I did. I'm kind of playing stupid here, because yes, of course I know what this is about because I have contributed, but
it's like me in your podcast.
No, but I have to tell this. We've known each other for many, many years.
Okay, so, we go back a long time. I think.
Okay. So anyway. The website is the representation of it, so everyone can see what's in there.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the areas where photography comes in.
Yes.
You have pictures there of all the objects.
Exactly.
And the interesting thing when we recently talked about this was that you're doing something. Well, let me open that on my website. On show number 127, I did something about scanner photography. And when you told me how you take most of the pictures for the museum, you're basically doing the same thing.
We scan them. We scan the objects in, and we did try last year using a digital camera.
Yeah.
Because
like a snapshot
Ben
camera,
was in,
point and
Ben
shoot,
was in Germany,
one.
I was in England, and
yeah.
originally I'd sent back and forth a couple of objects, and then two got nicked in the post, they got stolen.
Ooh.
And so we have no picture of these objects, and I decided I no longer want to send the objects around any more than is necessary. They've travelled through most of the world already by the
yeah.
time they get to me, so I've got to treat them better so they
right.
don't leave my hands anymore. But when we did take the pictures with the digital camera, there's two problems. One was the clarity,
mm-hmm.
and the other was me, because I'm just a shoddy photographer. Whenever I hit that little button, I don't just use my finger, my whole arm goes down.
Okay, so you introduce camera shake.
I'm just
beyond
bad
anything else.
at taking pictures.
you should try a tripod or a beanbag.
Yeah. Maybe.
Okay. Anyway, so that is one area where photography comes in here. You take pictures, you put them on the website,
yeah.
and you also use those pictures later on in another way.
We use them in the catalogue, yeah.
Right.
What we do is, because the website...
Hold on. Move that microphone a bit.
Okay. Because the website always changes. With any new object that goes in, we update it all the time. Well, I say all the time. Realistically, every week, sometimes 2 weeks. Now the World Cup, you know, that slowed us down a bit.
Did you get anything related to the World Cup?
No, not yet.
No little soccer balls or things?
No, not yet. It's been a bit quiet, actually.
Okay.
It's been a bit quiet.
Well,
nothing
this should change after this show. I know that we have lots of listeners. They are all, or many of them have kind of an art relationship, and maybe...
That's great. We have to say the compartments are tiny.
Right, right.
We have to say the compartments are absolutely minute. They're like, what, 4 by 4 inches?
Let me check on you. Actually, you have that on your website.
We've got the information on the website, and that's important.
It
has to be a small
object.
It's
4 by 4 by 8 centimeters.
Yeah, so divide that by 2 and you've got inches, roughly.
2.5, yeah.
Roughly.
Okay.
I'm not good at maths either.
So a crumpled up photograph could also go in there, or
yeah,
a rolled up
yeah,
one.
But, you know, we've had massive pictures sent to us, along with a CV of the artist. And we're not, I mean, yes, we are a museum. We try and make it as official as possible, because
yeah.
we want to give these objects their...
So exposure.
Exposure. We want yeah. to give them their minute in... the limelight,
yeah.
you know, but yeah, we don't use your CVs or anything, you know, your name goes up and that's about it. And
yes,
to come back to what you were saying, every hundred items we make a catalogue,
yes,
and that's where the photographs come in again, because
okay.
the catalogue basically is a colour print of the item, the original exhibit sheet that people filled in,
okay.
that sort of describes the object a bit, where they found it, what its meaning is, why it's important to mm-hmm. them, and why they want to give it to the museum. And then that all goes in a catalogue, so you get mm-hmm. a nice catalogue of 100
Yeah,
pictures.
I have one of those, and the catalogue does go out to all people who contributed
in that set of 100.
In that set of 100, yes.
Yeah.
I got it because actually I just remembered my contribution that was like 2 years ago. Something was a compact flash card filled
yes.
with digital pictures.
Exactly. And that fit in nicely.
That fit in size wise, and yeah, I put a lot
great.
Of thought in that.
Yeah, and that was great. So yeah, that's what we do with the catalogues. We only ever send them out to the 100. Well, normally it's about maybe 70 or 80 people, because people do send in more
right.
than once, and we do try to restrict them a bit, because we don't want a catalogue full of just one or two artists. We want a variety.
Okay. Where do those contributions come from?
All over the world.
All over the world.
Yes, we've got all continents.
Isn't that a good feeling?
It's fantastic.
To know
when we had our first African contribution,
oh wow,
we were chuffed to bits.
Wow.
It was great.
That's amazing.
It was a miniature sand painting The guy normally does these sand paintings, uses sand to create these
right.
Nature images. And
he did a miniature
he normally
one.
Does them in like 3 by 4 meters, and he did one to fit in the museum, especially for us.
This is amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Okay, so if any of my listeners wants to contribute to this, where would they find you?
They find me in Tübingen, but
where would they find the website?
If they want to find the website, it's a bit awkward. I have to apologise for that. It's www.museumoftemporaryart.com, but there's hyphens between every single word.
It's museum-of-temporary-art.com. Okay,
It's a bit of an essay. Yeah, I have.
I
to
will
admit
put
that.
A link to that in the show notes of the show, nice. and people can just click it and. And
the important thing is that people print out an exhibit sheet.
Yes.
If they can't print it out for whatever reason, send us an email, we'll send it to you. The exhibit sheet is just as important as the object. We get a lot of people just send in objects, and then what we have to do is print out an exhibit sheet, send them that, say, please fill it in, because we can't put it into the museum without the exhibit
sheet.
Maybe
you should make the rules a bit clearer on your website then.
It is clear. Some people are just too lazy. They just can't be bothered.
I remember when I did it, I think you dropped by twice to get the final sheet filled up. I mean, okay, yeah, I'm lazy
too. I think the
too.
People that really have their... You can sort of separate the people who really have something that's in the original sort of thought, the original idea of, I've got something that's important to me and that I want to show the world, or that I think deserves to be in a museum. Those things have stories. It's easy to come up with the title. The people who want to sort of... And you have those who just want to use the website and the museum to have something to add to their CV. I've been in a museum
as a platform kind of thing, yeah,
that kind of thing. Well, we tend to get a lot of untitled, you know, there's no title, untitled, no comment. That's okay, that goes in the catalogue like that when we print it, because we print the original exhibit sheet.
But then it would also not really get any good exposure. Yeah,
but the exhibit sheet is just as important as the object.
Yes.
It's not,
because
the
I
object
that,
obviously
yes.
you know, you send me a ticket. Two people send me a ticket. One person says, oh, this is a ticket to the film I watched when I was first in love and I remember snogging all the way through the last 20 minutes. And someone else says, this is the film where I split up with my boyfriend who was such a twat.
Yeah.
So there's stories behind these. And without the story, the ticket is that, a ticket. It's why you've kept it.
Okay.
That makes it so valuable.
Before we bring this interview to an end, I know it's a bit of it goes a bit into personal taste, but what is the funnest, coolest, best exhibit that you've received so far? The one that struck you most or touched you most?
I don't know. There's some that come back and back and back. There was one guy who worked in Kosovo as a UN soldier, and he sent us these miniature little knitted boots for a doll that a child had given him in exchange for sweets.
No.
And that was very touching.
That is touching.
It's lovely, isn't it? And then there's
That wouldn't mean anything without the story to it. Yeah.
And then there's my mum, who contributed the wisdom tooth that she lost while she was pregnant with me.
No.
we get everything. And you know, there's a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old who's sent in the chewing gum he found under his desk at school, and that's touching. You know, it's 6-year-olds, it's old people, it's young people, it's everyone.
Okay.
And by the way, there's something that my museum and I think a lot of your listeners have in common.
What?
Because your listeners are all into photography, and I think surely behind photography, the main idea is to make people see just this snippet the way you see it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to share your viewpoint of something with someone else.
And a snippet of time as well.
Exactly. And that's, I think, what the museum wants to do. It wants to sort of show people that there's value in everything.
Oh, I couldn't
Isn't
have said that,
nice?
That better. Debbie, thank you so much for being on the show.
Welcome.
Thanks for being here. And yeah, if you guys out there are willing to participate, go check it out. The link is in the show notes, museumoftemporaryart.com. With loads of dashes in there, and check out the website, and if you have something that fits in there, Debbie, prepare yourself for a huge avalanche of submissions.
Yeah, if we get too many, I need to say what happens is that we sort of put them on hold so that we try to give people at least 2 or 3 weeks in the museum. So we get this school teacher that sends in a whole package of
stuff. So
there
is a queue of some sort.
Sometimes we have to create a queue.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, stuff goes in and out in the same day. It's a bit unfair.
But everything will go in there.
Everything goes in.
Okay. And if this creates a 1,000 submission thing, you'll have to open up another box, right?
About another 100 boxes.
Okay. Debbie, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Hope to talk to you about something interesting again soon.
As if this wasn't. No, I'm just kidding. We'll have to cut that.
No, I'm not going to cut that. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was it for today's Tips from the Top Floor, show number 139. If you want to make a contribution for the 150th show, an MP3 greeting, a fun tip, or anything else that you can think of, please send it to me. The address is info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. I remember that I told you there'd be sunshine. Show support on today's show came from Rebecca Davis. And the Museum of Temporary Art is linked from the show notes. And remember, if you want to send it a photo, make sure it's small enough to fit the compartments or thoroughly crumple it up. Also, today's your very last chance to nominate Tips from the Top Floor on the Podcast Awards website. Please go to tipsfromthetopfloor.com, click the according link in the right-hand side, and follow the instructions. You'd really help Tips from the Top Floor if you did that. Thank you. My name's Chris Marquard. This was Tips from the Top Floor, the podcast about all things digital photography, show number 139. Talk to you again soon. Have a wonderful weekend and happy shooting. Sunshine after rain.